Today's discussion will be on pink pipelines and the approval of Bill C-69. Welcome to Exclusion, a podcast that explores all things equity, diversity, and inclusion in the workplace. Hi, welcome back to Exclusion. Thank you for joining us again. Today's episode, it's a special episode.
Woohoo, our first special episode.
Yeah, and it's all focused on the recent passing of Bill C-69 and also known to some as the Pink Pipeline.
It doesn't start good when things start in a gendered, with a gendered name anyway.
And before we begin, in the spirit of respect, reciprocity, and truth, we acknowledge that this podcast is being recorded on the traditional territories and oral practices of the Treaty 7 region in Southern Alberta and Region 3 Métis Nation. We acknowledge all nations, Indigenous and non, who live, work, and play on these lands, and to all who assist in their stewardship for generations to come.
All right. Well, now, if you live in Alberta, you have probably heard of Bill C-69, otherwise known as the No Pipeline Bill, or as we've mentioned before, the Pink Pipeline Bill. Mm-hmm. And like, as I mentioned, when the pipeline itself is being gendered, obviously this is something we want to talk about. Now, the first reading of the bill in the House of Commons was February 8th, 2008. It was then sent to the Senate. 2018. Yeah. I'm like a whole decade behind. Don't mind me. And then it was sent to the Senate, actually a year ago today. We were recording this on June 20th, 2018, or 2019. So it was a year ago in 2018 that it was sent to the Senate. Once there, the Standing Senate Committee on Energy and the Environment and Natural Resource engaged in a cross-Canada consultation to determine the best amendments to propose to repair the bill or to update the bill, and the Senate passed 190 amendments. This was a highly discussed bill, and there was a lot of passion from many people on this one. And then the recommendations were given by the Senate committee on June 5th, 2019, which then was punted back to the House of Commons for discussion and a vote. So then from here, the House of Commons decided which amendments to keep, which ones to reject, and they voted to pass the bill, and then they sent it back to the Senate. Now, before we go on, we just want to say that this podcast is nonpartisan, and if you hear us talking about political parties or political leaders, we're doing so through an EDI lens, and please just know that going in. Mm-hmm.
So the House approved 62 of the Senate amendments that were proposed, and they made tweaks to about 37 before then they finally approved them. And then the bill went back to the Senate again in its new form, where it just most recently passed. So its current status is passed.
All right. So even after the largest rally in history was held in Calgary, and despite controversy surrounding the bill and looming court appeals, companies must apply to what's been passed in the meantime.
Right. And this bill is long and contains many different components. However, Alicia and I will only speak to bring clarity on one particular aspect of the bill. That's often overlooked and misunderstood. And it's the requirement within the bill for companies to have to complete impact assessments on sex, gender, and other identity factors.
Now, before going forward, Marcy, I would assume that this is on new projects, right? This is not retroactive.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, that's my understanding as well. So we... we should mention that even if the conservatives win in the fall election, so it doesn't matter who's in charge federally in the fall, and even if they repeal the entire bill, this one component cannot be ignored. So issues of harassment, discrimination, and abuse of women and Indigenous women in the resource sector in Canada are becoming more publicized and are really becoming into the mainstream media. And examples are often amplified, especially after the Me Too movement, and as well as more formal evidence coming through the Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women and Girls Inquiry final report. So these issues are not going away, and whoever's in government will be, whoever will be in government, they will need to address them. This particular component of Bill C-69 would require energy infrastructure projects to essentially complete a GBA plus impact assessment. And so for some of you, you may not know what a GBA plus impact assessment is. And today we're going to discuss that, at least introduce you to that. And then it will be up to the IAA, which is the Impact Assessment Act, to determine the scope, size, regulations, guidelines, evaluations, frameworks, and punishments for noncompliance.
Right. And the IAA is what will be the new version of CEA. So the Canadian Environmental Assessment Agency, with this bill passed, will then shift towards to be the Impact Assessment Act agency. So GBA Plus, this might be very new to you, to many of our listeners, and it stands for Gender-Based Analysis Plus. The name itself is a little misleading because it encompasses much more than just gender, and I'll get into that. But the federal government basically, they first adopted this tool, GBA Plus, in 1996. And since then, every province in Canada has adapted it, in some form or the other. They're all kind of in different stages of adoption. Some are much more advanced and have fully integrated it into the way they do business. Others, it's kind of still siloed in certain departments, but it's certainly made an impact across the country, and many cities within Canada are following suit as well. So when I mentioned about provinces, the government of Alberta, for example, they adopted GBA Plus in 2014. And that was after a report came out by the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives. It's an annual report. You might be familiar with it, but it's called The Best and Worst Places to Be a Woman in Canada. And that year, Edmonton and Calgary were at the bottom of the list.
Oh, yeah, yes! Yeah.
Edmonton was last. Calgary was 17th out of 20. And ever since then, we've kind of always been near the bottom of the list. But that was kind of the catalyst that... and it was embarrassing, right, publicly. So the government of Alberta then chose to adopt this GBA Plus tool in government. And since then, Edmonton has started to adopt it. The city of Calgary has also started to adopt it. And similar tools have been adopted in many cities across the country, but under a different name. So it's essentially the same tool, but because the name has such, you know, GBA Plus, the gender is so predominant and a big part of the name that they've often, it's called an inclusion lens or equity tool, or they've kind of played around with it. But
and there's history there, Marcy, right? Because yeah. I guess that's where they started. So
yeah. And it's interesting. So GBA Plus in itself is an analytical tool, and it's been promoted, you know, it's been adopted by government, and now it's being pushed by government to universities, nonprofits, and private companies. And now through this bill, it'll be pushed into the energy sector. And essentially a GBA Plus impact assessment and benefits plan would require companies to examine the impact of their projects on, as they call it, the intersections of sex, gender, and other identity factors. So when they say gender, they include gender identity and gender expression. And when they say other identity factors, that includes LGBTQ2S+, age, race, ethnicity, indigeneity, income, ability, physical location, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's open-ended. and would allow companies to examine as many different diverse identity categories as possible according to the demographics of their workforce or the surrounding kind of impacted communities. So the GBA Plus analysis will then aims to allow companies to kind of better understand the impacts of their developments, and that includes any unintended negative impacts, and will then guide them by using this tool to create strategies to mitigate and prevent any of the negative impacts. So what I like that came out of the Bill C-69 debates was when, interestingly enough, conservative opposition leader Andrew Scheer actually called for a GBA Plus analysis impact assessments to be imposed on foreign oil imported into Canada as well. So, for example, Saudi Arabia oil imports into Canada, and we all know they have a pretty, you know, abysmal human rights record and record concerning gender equality. So that would certainly help limit the importing of the oil there and preference our Alberta oil.
Well, and I think it would also bring everything on a more even keeled playing surface. Yeah. But that being said, here in Canada, we can't just pat ourselves on the back and think we're doing everything right. Mm-hmm. We've been in the energy and mining resource sector here in Canada for, gosh, like pretty much a century. So, you know, some of our track records can be a bit abysmal too in certain areas in the country when it comes to just the social, economic, and also environmental impact that some of our projects have had. So many past impact assessments have addressed social, health, economic, heritage, and or cultural effects alongside stringent environmental assessments, which have included air, water, land, wildlife. And I will say, as a geoscientist in the resource sector, I have actually participated in these types of reports in before we could do some of our own projects. So this would be a larger encompassing facet into something that's currently already happening. The only difference now is that inclusion of an intersectional gender lens. So Marcy, many may ask, what makes these kinds of impact assessments so controversial, and why is it so unprecedented?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, a GBA Plus impact assessment and a subsequent benefits plan does actually have precedence in Canada and international jurisdictions. So to many, it seems like it's come, you know, completely out of left field, and that it's completely uncalled for to look at, you know, gender and sex. And what does gender and sex even have to do with a pipeline, right? But in actual fact, other countries have imposed similar requirements in their resource development industries. Even in Canada, the Canada, Newfoundland, and Labrador Offshore Petroleum Board has required a diversity plan and benefits plan on its resource developments for many years. But they've defined the diverse identity categories that they would like companies to focus on, which are only these four populations that include women, Indigenous people, people with disabilities, and visible minorities. So they limited it to those four. GBA Plus impact assessment is much broader than that. But what's interesting about this, the Canada, Newfoundland, and Labrador Offshore Petroleum Board, is they have designed and developed these stringent reporting requirements associated with the diversity and benefits plans, and have actually withheld licensing and halted production in cases of non-compliance or when companies are not meeting the targets that they have set to identify.
Oh, that's really interesting. So this isn't quite out in left field as we thought, if it's already happening in Canada. So to our listeners, you may also be asking, so why does this matter? Why does this need to be included in the bill? Well, it matters because research has shown that women have traditionally been disadvantaged in the resource development industry, both internationally and within Canada. This ties actually a little bit to my own research. I've been studying gender and gendered spaces, and we will talk about this at another podcast. But in summary, I study how spaces themselves are not gender neutral, that working spaces to domestic spaces to politics to education, people will both emotionally and physically experience these spaces differently based on their gender and other intersections. And traditionally, the resource sector has a long history of exhibiting masculinized traits. So if you would like to know more about this before we can put the episode out to explain a little bit further, I do suggest looking up researchers such as Dr. Dean LaPlange. His initial work came out of Australia, another resource-heavy economy. But more recently, he's actually been working with groups such as CIM, the Canadian Institute of Mining, Mineralogy, and Petroleum. So there's definitely some work that's already started in Canada outside of the bill looking at some of these topics. But basically, when we're saying that women have been disproportionately affected by this, what we're meaning is that the negative impacts in resource development, in the resource development industry, have often affected women in ways such as lack of consultation and collaboration. Men mostly attend consultation sessions, and negotiation tables are reserved for leadership, which is underrepresented by women. You know, even a week ago, that happened, Marcy. Do you remember when our current premier met with the First Nation boards? I was quite shocked that there wasn't a single woman at that table. So right. It shows that when we're talking at a leadership level, if women aren't included in that, then their voices may be lost. Yeah. But also,
and that's consistent across most sectors.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's just
not
something
unique to oil and gas
local,
either.
Right? Yeah. Just local and recent, but that's definitely not new. Mm-hmm. It also increases caregiving responsibility. The industry is highly male dominated and results in wives or partners disproportionately having to manage childcare or elder care, or in general just being caregivers on top of whatever else that it is that they do. And this can then affect employment opportunities, expenses, and contributions to contributes to the greater wage gap, but it also can affect the long-term financial insecurities or create insecurities for women when they don't have a chance to participate into the greater economy. And it can cause a lack of employment or training opportunities, especially in jobs requiring heavy labor and high wage levels, discrimination, harassment, and dangerous working conditions, gendered occupational segregation with women and racialized workers being overrepresented in feminized and invisible spaces such as service, retail, and care work in oil sands related regions here in Alberta. High rates of gender-based violence in communities where resource industries are based, and it heightens the rate of sex work and human trafficking. So there's actually been quite a few articles written just in the last couple years that have focused on this and brought attention to this. And a lot of it actually ties with the Me Too movement. It seems that when that became public, it opened the door for others to tell their stories. And actually, 1 year after the Me Too movement, there was a report that's saying that the Canadian Assault Crisis Center had responded to record numbers of calls. So people, it's not to say that these things weren't happening in the past. It's just that people were finally talking about it. Mm-hmm. And there's articles, for example, in the Tech Life Today, a couple months ago, late to 2018, I believe, where tradeswomen were talking about what's happened to them within their working environments. Groups like APEGA, so that's the Association of Professional Engineers and Geoscientists of Alberta, they currently have Assessment Canada grant to see how things are affecting their members through a gendered lens, and they actually have to do a GBA plus mm-hmm. as part of that assessment. So this is already happening in the province, just in a smaller scale. But there's also groups like the Me Too Mining Group. Mm-hmm. They decided to organize themselves to express some of the concerns that are happening within their working environments, not just in Alberta, but this is happening quite a bit up in Northern Canada as well. And there's been research lately about work camps and some of the effects of having larger work camps. This is mostly so far come from more the forestry industry. That's where it's been researched, but that doesn't mean that there's not other information that can be gathered from. Once again, Australia has quite a lot of information. This is probably actually an under-researched, so... Mm-hmm. if anybody wants to do a master's thesis on this, there is definitely an opportunity to gather more information on that. But there has been examples of it in other regions. Mm-hmm. And even after the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls report came out, there's actually one participant who expressed her concerns because actually after giving her testimony, the mining companies started harassing her and trying to say that the truth that she spoke was not real. And they tried to get her fired. Wow. So it shows you that not speaking about it doesn't mean that it's not mm-hmm. happening.
Exactly. And I find it so interesting that gender-based violence can be directly like associated and linked to the economic stability or economic instability of our province. And because we're so oil and gas heavily dominated our economy, that there's been so many studies, and you've probably heard it in the news, but every time we have an economic downturn, gender-based violence spikes. And it's because of the rising unemployment from this industry, the stress, the lifestyle, lots of contributing factors and, you know, longer term historical contributing factors, but it's linked. And we've heard so many stories of, like Alicia mentioned, about sexual harassment from women working in the industry, and that's not only prevalent, you know, at the camps and around Fort McMurray or north of Fort McMurray, but also in, you know, downtown in the headquarters. In Calgary, we've heard stories of sexual harassment, of, you know, anything all the way to when you're a woman and you're in your childbearing years and you work for a company that's heavily masculinized or male dominated, you're just always overlooked or forgotten about or assumed that you're not interested in any type of advancement or promotion opportunities because you're going to have a child, or you're directly asked about that or commented on it. And yeah, it's not a friendly environment and can be a very unsafe environment.
So Marcy, what's interesting with gender-based analysis though is people often associate gender with women. It's funny how only women have a gender.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this also looks at effects on men as well. And one of the things they're really noticing is that the link between some of these environments and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
There's not only a spike in violence against women, but there's also a spike in suicides
mm-hmm.
and other mental illnesses that men disproportionately look yeah. at. So when we say gender-based analysis, please know that gender means more than women.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And one of our future episodes will dig deeper into like what gender is and get into that a bit more. But when we talk about kind of gender-based analysis or talk about gendered spaces, we're kind of referring to that gender is this social construct. And it's a spectrum, and it's informed by a number of different identity factors, kind of like the GPA Plus assessment itself. But right, so gender, your idea of what it means, your idea of what masculinity means or femininity means, can greatly be affected by your religion, your culture, your location in the world. For example, whatever the heavily dominated economy is or industry where you work. So in this case, it's the energy sector.
So the gendered space itself can actually influence how you not only present mm-hmm. your gender, but also are affected by it.
Right.
Sure.
Exactly. And I'll never forget going up to, in a previous job, I visited a lot of the mining sites and in situ sites in northern Alberta. And one of the mining sites in one of the buildings, well, there's very few women's washrooms. And when I was able to find one, on the door of the washroom, it said, you know, woman. But in the O, someone had scratched in a two eyes and a frowny face. And I was like, look at that. Like, that's so terrible.
That's so welcoming.
And
so,
yeah. And that's a perfect, almost like symbol of how it feels to work, you know, in an environment like that, that's so heavily male dominated and masculinized, and to feel kind of alone. Right. And, yeah, it's yeah. It's
well, too bad. I remember as a geoscientist yeah. going to the field into one of the work camps, and it's not very often as a woman that you, or as a person, that you can walk into a room and have 300 people stop and it's quiet and they look at you. Yeah. Because you're the only woman they've seen in a very long time. Yeah. It's very eerie. So so definitely gendered spaces experienced differently by different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I when I'd visit these sites, there would be for a couple of the visits, I was pregnant and none of the PPE fit a pregnant belly. So I couldn't wear it properly. And then also none of the boots were the right size. My feet were smaller than I guess the average or the smallest boot size they had. So it's like, you know, this is one of the reasons why a GPA plus analysis can prevent these sort of things. So, and
I think you'll have many people within, say, the APEGA world, the geosciences and engineers say, and I've seen this in some studies, how women are, it's very, you know, you can't get promoted unless you get field work. But then women can't go to the field because there isn't equipment that fits them. There isn't bathrooms for them. There's not accommodations for them. Mm-hmm. So you can't get to the next echelon without that check mark, but you can't get the check mark because they forgot about you. Or the space station where they only had one suit that fit.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Like
the two women, and they bragged about how they were going to do this spacewalk, and then they didn't have two suits that fit the two women. Yeah. So,
oh, my gosh.
But anyway, that's a whole nother, we can do a whole topic on that later.
I guess the important thing to know is that all of these tragic stories could have been prevented, right? And the GPA plus analysis is a easy tool that these companies will now be encouraged and required to adopt that can shine a light on these different inequalities or, you know, unintended negative consequences of policies from an industry that's solely dominated by one sex or one gender, right? So, and with Bill C-69, it's unfortunate because in the public dialogue and in mainstream media, GPA plus has never actually been explained properly. So there's been a lot of defensiveness and people have been really upset to hear about this particular component of the bill. But you might remember Prime Minister Trudeau mentioning about the importance of GPA plus at the Davos summit in Europe, and where I think he was just speaking on the fly and he kind of messed up the description of it, which then led to all this media coverage all over Canada talking about how GPA plus is just about women and how men in the oil fields are predatory and dangerous to women. And it just kept going on and on, and which is totally inaccurate and results in, you know, even more anger and fear.
And misunderstanding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's upsetting hearing things like that, but we want to really kind of set the record straight and provide some clarity on this component of the bill that you'll now have to adopt. But it's also interesting to note that this component didn't have to be in the text of the bill. So it was deliberately politicized by putting it right in the text of the bill. And that's pretty unprecedented to have something like this right in the text. But I mean, it could have just been introduced in regulations or guidelines, and it could have even just been worked into the existing regulatory framework.
Yeah. So it was kind of an add-on that's now been lost, right? In the greater storm of the bill.
Yeah.
In so many ways, right?
Exactly. And it's been discounted because of all the anger and the misunderstanding around it and the rest of the issues that people had with the bill. So it hasn't been able to, you know, even been seen for its potential merit.
Absolutely. So is there any other examples where, I guess, the fact that the GBA plus is just being put into use at the city levels or the municipal levels, I would assume companies could take this on if they wanted, but is the bill being used to kind of force people's hands then?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think so. And ever since the federal government has adopted it, and then within the last 4 years, for sure, there's been this renewed push of it and prioritization of it. And I mean, we see that because we see the Prime Minister wanting to leave one of his, you know, big legacy pieces around gender equality. So he's pushing this hard. And it's not, so this is how it shows up, I guess, for the energy sector. But he's also made it a requirement for any sort of federal government funding. So nonprofits have to conduct GBA plus analysis, post-secondary institutions across Canada in order to have federal government Canada research chairs or any sort of research funding have to do an analysis like this on their entire institution. So it's coming up all over the place, wherever the federal government has any degree of influence. And this is just how they've decided to do it, you know, for the energy sector to try to affect some sort of change to help the, you know, the advancement of women within the sector. And
they're just pushing it through with a bulldozer.
Pushed it through with a bulldozer by putting it right in the text of the bill.
Well, and I will say, as someone who's worked in the not-for-profit industry for the last 5 or 6 years, we had a federal grant and we had to add GBA plus to the work that we were doing. And I will admit that it did put a fire on us a little bit. We actually changed our whole mission, vision, our scope of the work that we were doing after we understood GBA plus and what it encompassed and what we were missing. And we realized, I would say, that what we thought we were trying to do was it helped us kind of catalyst the change to be more robust and precise in what we were doing. So there's definitely some benefits to it, but it's just really too bad that this has been kind of lost along the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I would say from my past experience as a geoscientist in the resource sector that the majority of workers, they just want to go to work. They just want to work hard. They want to get back to their families. And at the end of the day, maybe the end of their shift after a week away from their families. So their intent is not to create negative impacts to themselves, their coworkers, or those in the greater community.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And by no means, we don't want to stress that these negative impacts are all derived from these predominantly male workers. We hope that's not our message. The negative impacts are much more deep-rooted and complicated and can be derived from historical events, you know, traditional systems of power and discrimination, long-term systems of abuse, as well as overt and implicit biases. And then all these kind of discriminatory systems and power structures can then be maintained over time by society's dominant cultures, ethnicities, races, ability, and the economy. So these root causes are very complicated, but the issues are certainly real and have social, cultural, health, economic, and political consequences for all Canadians. So it's extremely important for us to improve our understanding of these issues and their causes to try to reduce and eliminate these harms as much as possible.
And in the Murdered Missing Indigenous Women and Girls Inquiry Final Report, there is also a section on the Canadian resource development sector and the recommendations that really align with these components in Bill C-69. And within the report, they called for governments and bodies that are mandated to evaluate, approve, and or monitor development projects to develop and monitor GBA plus analysis throughout the lifecycle of a project. So start, middle, finish, all the way through. And for impact assessments and benefit agreements to include provisions addressing the impacts the project will have on Indigenous women and girls. Another recommendation contained in the final report calls for federal, provincial, and territorial governments to fund inquiries into relationships between resource extraction and violence against Indigenous women. But it is also important because this inquiry, this final report, further outlined that resource development projects and work camps are a threat to Indigenous women and girls, and also the 2 SLGBTQQIA people. We need to find like a fantastic word to encompass all that because we don't want to leave anybody out. The report outlines how the highly male-dominated and highly masculinized environment in the work camps have led to an increase in sexual assault, harassment, STIs, and the sex trade. It also illustrates the drug and alcohol abuse among workers in camp when off duty and the desire to blow off steam from the isolation, stress, and long hours. The report states, there is substantial evidence of a serious problem that requires focused attention on the relationship between resource extraction projects and violence against Indigenous women. It also increasingly calls, it also increasingly called out the Manitoba Hydro. That was interesting.
Yeah, especially for like this national final report that has certainly received international attention in this section to specifically call out, you know, one company. That's a big deal. And what's also interesting about the report is that, you know, it specifically mentions GBA Plus. In terms of the life cycle of a project for resource development. So even if, you know, Bill C-69 eventually gets repealed by a new government, it's still the tool of choice and the tool that is being recommended to be adopted for resource development. And now that C-69 has passed, we just need to wait to see what the scope of these assessments will be. Because GBA Plus can literally be applied to anything and everything. You know, initially you might wonder, you know, what does gender and age and race or culture have to do with a pipeline? But if there's GBA Plus and gender and all of those other identity factors, if there's a human involved in any aspect of your project, you can look at the gender and you can look at the race and the culture. So it can be applied to anything that involves a human, and that involves, you know, research phases of a project, consultations, how you design the consultation, and then who you invite and the types of questions you ask. You can apply GBA Plus to the construction of a pipeline in terms of the people you hire to do it, and then the operations of the pipeline and monitoring and evaluating and reclamation activities. You can also apply it to marketing and communications, not to mention, you know, looking at analyzing the demographics of all of the surrounding communities. So you look at kind of who is your primary target, I guess, people that get impacted, and then who's your secondary level and your third level, and you look at the demographics in all those different categories. And that's just in how you can apply it to your projects, but it can also be applied to your internal workforce demographics of your company and the leadership of your company and the board of your company. So this could be extremely broad and all-encompassing, or it could be very narrow, specific to a project. So we just have to wait to see what the IAA, Impact Assessment Agency, will decide. And over the past 6 months, I think at least, the SEA, so Canadian Environmental Assessment Agency, had been doing consultations on this to see, in order to get feedback on the scope. But I believe they were very narrow and they were small, and I don't think there were any held in Alberta. So we'll have to see what comes out of that. And I know they've been talking with Status of Women Canada as well. But we'll wait and see. And certainly Alicia and I will be keeping a close eye on this. And as soon as any direction or information comes out, we'll be happy to publish and talk about that and share that as soon as possible. But, I mean, industry has made such incredible technological advancements to reduce carbon output and in new methods to extract resources and in land reclamation. And it's also made, you know, several advances over the past few decades when it comes to gender equality. But what this bill is about and why the inclusion of this particular component is in there is because it's signaling that the time has come to begin advancing safety and innovation in gender equality within individual companies and in the surrounding communities that get so impacted by the developments.
Well, and I would say also that, because I know there's been pushback saying, well, this is going to increase the time it's going to take to get things approved. It's going to be more work up front. But let's not forget that if we don't do the work up front, it doesn't mean the work shouldn't be done and that it shouldn't be addressed. And whatever we don't address up front is going to be a larger problem to deal with later, right? And yeah. these are human lives that we're talking about that'll be affected. So I just ask everyone to just breathe and wait to see what the scope is, because as Marcy said, it can be all encompassing. It can maybe just pick certain things that as a company that you should do, but then maybe once you do that as a company, you realize, geez, this has worked. Mm-hmm. And maybe internally you expand on your DEA plus. So so it's not something to throw our hands up in the air yet, and but definitely something to watch mm-hmm. and to consider that this is important going forward.
Yeah.
And, right.
And that's and I really like that you mentioned that point, because it just reminded me that like in GPA plus assessments that I've done previously, it's about doing what you are already doing, but in a slightly different way. So it shouldn't significantly delay a project because of this sort of impact assessment. It's about looking at the consultations you're already doing and trying to reach a broader audience or target them more to specific groups.
Better do them, right?
Like, improve them.
And not to just do them for naught and then not have it matter, right? Yeah. Like you need to, it's to help you create how you do your consultations and what you ask and how you ask those questions, exactly. right?
And the research that I've done with it shows that it doesn't delay timelines. Or very rarely is that the case. And it also doesn't increase costs much, because it's just doing what you do in a slightly different way. And like we said, you know, these companies are already doing pretty robust impact assessments that involve social factors and involve Indigenous considerations and consultations and research. So this would just be improving it, right? And making sure that you are able to identify every possible negative impact and try to mitigate that.
Catch it up front instead of later, right?
Exactly. And save costs, yeah.
And just like that, our time is up. So a few key takeaways from this episode include: energy infrastructure projects will now need to complete a GBA plus impact assessment, which not only outlines the positive and negative impacts, but also the initiatives that companies will introduce to mitigate the negative effects. It is still a to be decided on the scope and the details of this new assessment. And finally, even if the bill is repealed, it is not going away anytime soon.
Thank you so much for listening today. We hope you enjoyed our discussion. Please hit subscribe to our podcast so we can track the number of listeners and you can receive notifications when a new episode is released. And feel free to leave a comment or send us a message so we can try to tailor our content according to your interests. And what can you expect in upcoming episodes?
Well, you'll hear us talk about leading tech companies, energy companies, entrepreneurs, government, and advocates across the EDI space. We will share cutting-edge EDI technologies, innovative programs, evaluation techniques, how to incorporate EDI into communications and politics, all littered with numerous best practices, tips, tools, all throughout. And we will also share commentary on the latest EDI and gender equity happenings, such as compelling interviews with women leaders and change makers in the EDI world.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to hit subscribe and let's continue the conversation.
Okay, until next time.